earth, sky.
Science is incorporated to the solutions and to talking about them and to making the public understand why science matters and needs to be a big part of the discussion. But I think too often it's kind of cast aside as a special interest group, and we forget that the people who are doing it really should be having the influence on the decisions about all of these big issues.
You're listening to Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Kirschenbaum is a research scientist at the University of Texas at Austin, a science blogger on Discover.com, and co-author of the 2009 book Unscientific America. Kirschenbaum says there's a gap in understanding between scientists and the public. She talked with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about how scientists can close that gap and help the public get a better understanding of science.
On Friday, you talked here in Austin, Texas, about the state of scientific literacy in America. So what is your primary message?
Well, foremost, we need to emphasize why science is so important, not just in terms of research, but also in terms of policy, the media, and the relationship we have with other fields and disciplines.
What's the connection between all those things? What would you say is the state of science in America right now?
Well, it's somewhat dismal. I mean, if you think about things, all of the big issues in the 21st century are science-related, whether you're talking about climate change, human health, very obviously now what's going on in our oceans, especially the Gulf of Mexico with the BP oil disaster. All of these, you know, science is incorporated to the solutions and to talking about them and to making the public understand why science matters and needs to be a big part of the discussion. But I think too often it's kind of cast aside as a special interest group, and we forget that the people who are doing it really should be having the influence on the decisions about all of these big issues.
So why do you think that's not happening? You mentioned the BP oil spill.
I'm not going to say scientists weren't involved in the BP spill. What I'm talking more about is the relationship between science and society. There's a broad disconnect, and that's perpetuated by the way scientists are cast in Hollywood, since only, I think, 18% of folks say they know a scientist personally. So we're getting a lot of impressions from the media. Most Americans can't even name a scientist, and when they do, they come up with people like Al Gore, Bill Gates, or Albert Einstein. Those are the top three answers, and you'll notice that group, they're not either alive or the kind of scientists that we're thinking about. Even in D.C., at the national level and even at the local level, very often it's not the science that goes into why a decision is made. Science takes a backseat to other priorities because of the need to be reelected. So I think that we're going to have to work very, very hard at changing things if we're to meet the challenges that I've been talking about. So it's really up to all of us. It's our collective responsibility to ensure that those who are in the position to make decisions for all of us understand that they're going to have to start paying more attention to science and why it matters.
Why does science matter?
Well, what I was saying before, you know, science is not a special interest group. Science is inherent. I mean, it's intimately connected to everything we do, whether it's keeping our families healthy, whether it's protecting the environment, just in the technology we use and how we communicate with others through new media and old media. I mean, science is integral to life.
What would you say that scientists can do? As a scientist yourself, how do you think that the scientific community needs to change to adapt to the changing interests of the public, to adapt to the changing media environment?
Well, I think right now we're touching on an area where there is an enormous opportunity, because we have a lot of people with the expertise in science who aren't landing the tenured faculty positions at the end of their career trajectory. That's not to say everyone wants that at the end of their career, but it's a very small number. And so we have a very well-educated group of, you know, young people earning degrees, looking to use what they know in a way to contribute to society. So why not work with different people who are thinking about science careers, but teach them science and something else? So enable young scientists to work with journalists and writers and gain some skills to communicate that way. Get them more comfortable speaking publicly, talking to media. Create the jobs for these renaissance scientists, sort of this new generation that's going to have to step up and be prepared to tackle a lot of the things that we haven't found solutions for already. And I think that's part of the battle, you know, make scientists more open to using new media, to getting on even YouTube and Twitter and talking on The Daily Show, whatever it may be, but using the avenues available and finding new ones to reach out.
So you're basically saying that people who want science careers aren't going to find as many of the traditional, as you said, tenure track, which means that they're always going to have that position. So what do you mean when you say that they need to be learning something else?
Well, there's been a rise in the number of interdisciplinary programs around the country. Some are sponsored through NSF, like the IGRT program, and they work to educate scientists while they're also doing science and something else. So it could be you're learning about science, but you're also getting policy skills along the way, taking social science and law classes and anthropology classes. My own graduate education was that way at the University of Maine. And to me, that really informed the way that I was going to do science, think about science, and stay involved. And eventually, you know, led me to want to work in D.C. and think about other ways to stay in the community, but also extend beyond the traditional boundaries. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I get to interact in the blogosphere with all sorts of folks who aren't in the academic bubble that I normally reside in, and address some of their concerns and questions that way. It reaches beyond those that are normally thinking about these things. And I think that that's so important.
Right. So talking about certain controversial issues in science, what do you think that scientists can do now to take action to inform the public?
Not every scientist needs to be Carl Sagan, and there's certainly a hesitancy because especially before you land tenure, so you land permanence at a university, you're very concerned about the way you're going to be characterized. If you do talk to someone in the media, it can be scary. You're not sure how comfortable you are talking about your results. But I think that scientists really need a call to arms. I mean, scientists need to be willing to break tradition and cross boundaries. And some are doing it.
So are you optimistic that the gap between science and the public can be closed in time to deal with these really pressing issues?
I do think we can get there. I think we'll have to change our priorities. But, you know, if I didn't believe that it was possible, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
You've been listening to Cheryl Kirschenbaum, science writer, blogger, and research scientist in the Center for International Energy and Environmental Policy at the University of Texas at Austin. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.